White Sox! White Sox! Go, 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 go!
Call your sons, call your daughters!
Holy cow!
You can't put it on the board! Yeah!
Riley picks a perfect game!
Konecko, grand slam!
A White Sox winner and a world championship!
Jimenez,
he's your hero tonight! Thanks, Cubs!
The dynamic duo of Herb Lawrence and Chris Tannehill.
Those two are like a tag team, you know?
Come with me to Southside of Chicago.
Hi, this is Jim Thome, and the best White Sox talk is on Locked On Sox Podcast with Tanny and Herb.
Hello, and welcome back to Locked On Sox. My name is Herb Lawrence. You can follow me on Twitter at Ecknerwall23. Chris Tannehill is at Chris Tannehill, and our show is at Locked On Sox. If you want to reach us via email or voice message, it is lockedonsox@gmail.com. Or 312-566-8727. I know they're kind of hot, but why are we losing to the Royals? Why are we losing series to the Royals again, Chris? This is irritating.
I think if it was any other team, you can just chalk it up to, it is what it is. But when you see the Royals twice within a span of basically a calendar week and you lose both series, that's not good. But hey, how about those Field of Dreams uniforms, huh?
I mean, I'm getting me one. So, once they get released, the Yankees ones are out, but White Sox are not yet.
The Yankees ones are like, hey, we're the New York Yankees. How about we put New York on the chest and then the NY on the hat? Thanks, guys.
just you change your uniforms a little bit. Good job, like, jerks.
I know they're an iconic franchise and there's not much you could do with it, but it's weird. I don't know. It just it looked weird. I guess maybe because the photos I saw, it was Aaron Judge was the photo, and he doesn't look like, he's like superhuman, so he doesn't look like anyone that would have played in that era in many ways. Meanwhile, you have Lance Lynn and Craig Kimbrell, with the Sox jerseys, But yeah, I absolutely love those. So you said you're getting one?
Oh, 100%. Once they go on sale, I looked today. I saw the Yankees one was like $135. It's like, that's in my budget. Let's do it.
Yankees one's on sale already?
Yeah, it's on Fanatics and MLB.com or MLB.shop.
Yeah. I checked for the Sox one. I don't know if they're going to make us stand in line at Home Depot. I was at Home Depot today. I'll stand in line.
There's time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they're going to make us go to the Chicago Sports Depot to get those, but they are fresh. I was just trying to figure out which.
And I'm sure your people at Grandstand will have them too.
Well, yeah, of course. Why would I wait at Chicago Sports Depot when I go to Grandstand? I was actually thinking about putting another custom order in because they treated us so well. They came out and made sure, after we picked up our Brian Goodwin jersey the other day, they came outside after we were already leaving to thank us again for mentioning them on the score. So I think I'm going to go and get another custom jersey. I think maybe I'm going to grab a mini Minoso throwback. I like having a different, a vast wardrobe, a versatile wardrobe of Sox jerseys from jerseys throughout the years. I dress according to mood, like George Costanza. So my only question is, I don't know if I'm going to get the 79 on the back or number 7. I think I'm leaning towards Tim. I don't mind getting it blank either, but it looks much cooler with the numbers on the back. They look very nice with those navy blue numbers, the dark navy numbers. So
I won't get my own number. I'll get an actual player's number. Maybe I know they're not going to do the 1919 numbers. I don't even know if they had numbers in 1919. If Joe Jackson actually had a number, I should ask my guy who runs the Shoeless Joe Jackson Museum down there in South Carolina. The Chicago guy. I forgot. I think his name is Dan.
Yeah, we should talk to him one of these days, maybe during the off season. But I think our opportunity has passed us by this season because, man, we got to break down these games, man. That was an exciting one last night, huh? Sox drop another one, 3-2. So we're going to have to convene on the side on what jerseys we are getting. With the Lance Lynn extension, that kind of changes the game a little bit, because I like it that there's no name on the back. So no one's going to, bat an eye when they see you in 5 years walking the concourse with the jersey.
Exactly.
So I like I love the nameless jerseys. They're one of my favorites. That's why I have the 1993 Frank Thomas one without the Thomas on the back because, hey, it's 35. You know, jerks. You know what it is. So This offense, huh? Oof. Another just a poor night of offensive baseball on the south side. Sox dropped this one 3-2, and I really hate to start to end the week on a note like this, but we're going to try to have some fun today and try to figure out what's going on with this offense, and maybe they'll just put it behind them and they'll curb stomp the Cubbies this weekend. Maybe that's what's in store for us. But for now, let's talk about the game at hand. And the Sox, each team only had 6 hits. But the Royals, this is indicative of when things are not going right. We'll start with the offense. In the 6th inning, the Sox finally start to get to Royal starter. Don't call him David Lynch, Daniel Lynch. They finally start to get to him. And Abreu leads off with a single after homering earlier in the evening. And Eli worked a walk. And I have in my notes here, that's a good at bat. Could be a precursor of some things to come. And later, of course, he did come through on that note for me. But then Andrew Vaughn, of course, when things aren't going right, your best hitter, Andrew Vaughn, comes up and he grounds into a double play. And that's just, it's maddening. And then right after him, Moncada hits a ball nearly 100 miles an hour with an expected batting average of somewhere around 500. And then, of course, Carlos Santana makes a hell of a play to end the inning. Like, these are all things that are indicative of when things are not going right, and that's before we even get to that defensive miscue in the first inning, man. But where do we begin with this offense, Herb? Man, this is not fun. It's ungood, and I was told once Eloy Jimenez came back, this thing was going to be rocking and rolling. But the good thing about these injuries this year is there's always someone else to look forward to. And I should mention that Luis Robert hit a 3-run shot in Charlotte last night, and hopefully we'll get Grandal back soon. But what are you seeing with this offense, man? It's frustrating. I know the Kansas City Royals, they had a good game plan against the White Sox, and they executed their pitches for the most part, not overpowering dominant stuff, but just not a lot of great at-bats over the course of this series for the White Sox.
Yeah, and this Lynch guy is supposed to be decent prospect, eventually supposed to be good, part of their rotation for the future, but I didn't see anything from him that should be limiting the team to 6 hits for the whole game. And, of course, Josh Stalmont and the rest of the bullpen, pretty solid out there, Greg Holland, et cetera. But I didn't see anything, especially since they had battered the kid earlier in the year, that was flummoxing them. But it's the same things that have been happening. Tim is the driver of this offense, and he goes 0-for-4. Didn't drive anybody in. This is why we're struggling, and I don't want to put everything on his shoulders, but sometimes I give him credit for starting the offense, so I got to give him a little bit blame for when he doesn't, get on base or contribute in a way for offensively, but especially when they need it now. Cesar Hernandez is doing a great job. He's got two-thirds of our hits, or no, not two-thirds, one-third of our hits today. Him and Jose Abreu with 2-for-4 efforts today. Those are the guys who need to be steady where they are. If they have Tim going along with them, we're rolling, because now Aloy, you saw the hit later on. He's taking the ball in deep. And remember last year we talked about ad nauseum. Aloy goes opposite field. That is a precursor for home runs. He's seen the ball deep. It was a slider on the outside corner, and he just served it to where it was pitched and rocketed it down the right field corner. Scores a run right there. Just need these guys to be hot all at the same time. Timmy's the guy who stirs the drink, but we got people down the line. And with Noah Moncada not being the guy that we thought he would be at this point of the season, at this point of his career, that's a big-time struggle too. So I don't know. This offense is just really, really stagnant. And like they say about offense being contagious, slumps are contagious too, with 6 hits today versus this Royals staff, which I didn't think was that great.
No, everyone's just trying to be the man up there when you're struggling. Everyone, that's the catch-22 about all this is all season long. You've had the team where it's someone new every night. But when you're pressing and your things are not going well and you're struggling a bit, everyone wants to be the man that night, and everyone wants to bring the team out of these depths here. But I will. Cesar Hernandez is also on my notes, and he's only hitting 236. But for what we've seen since he's been here, been a really nice addition from the left side. I think he's going to serve them well in the postseason. It's a guy who's seen the Royals a bunch, being in the division, and just has a really good approach. You know, like, you know, just doesn't try to do too much with it. He's power heavy coming into the White Sox uniform here, but this series, all we've seen him do is just have nice at bats, take it the other way, find a hole here or there, and I've been really impressed with Cesar Hernandez, and it makes you wonder, you know, I don't know if you can necessarily move Andrew Vaughn up to there, because I think Cesar Hernandez is going to be locked into the two hole for the foreseeable future, and I have no problem with that. But yeah, he's been a really nice addition, and I think Eloy's going to have a big weekend against the Cubs. I'd be saying that if they were playing, you know, let's say the Mariners, but I just think from what we've seen, what you mentioned and what I mentioned, those things, like, I think he's poised to break out. I think maybe being back in front of the home crowd, maybe he's, you know, feeling the pressure a little bit and wanted to do too much. And maybe this was a bit of a trap series. I'm not saying they were looking forward to the Cubs series by any means, but the Royals coming in, you know, I think maybe they thought they could just roll the ball out there and beat them as they have in years past, you know. But the Royals are a better team this year, and they certainly are pitching a lot better than what we are used to. But the Sox certainly helped them out a ton. Just you go up and down this box score, and it's just not a lot of stuff here that you would like to remember going in into tomorrow. Other than Jose Abreu is staying hot, the big bomb earlier in the game, you know. But other than that, man, not a whole lot going on here. As you mentioned, Hernandez and the other hits coming from Eloy and Leury Garcia, of course. You know, Sebi with not a really good night tonight, offensively and defensively. Mm. And I'll just say this: right after we logged off yesterday, I saw that tweet from Zach Collins about people sending him death threats. And that just, you know, I don't know what to say about that other than if you take sports that seriously, and we take it seriously, I think, because we decided to make it our livelihoods. We work at the Score, we work in sports media, and then we do the podcast in our free time. So we take sports pretty seriously, but to send a death threat to a young kid like that, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make things easier. That's not the best thing for yourself. It's not the best thing for Zach Collins to have to sit there and read. Like, you know, that's just uncalled for, man. That's horseshit behavior. And we have got to be better than that, Sox fans. Like, this team's going to be really good, and we've got to clean it up. You know, who knows? You know, I don't know. That just, it stuck with me last night, just seeing a young kid struggle. And maybe I felt bad because we had been hammering him the past few days for his performance on the field, and then you see what kind of stuff he's got to deal with in his personal life. It's just, you know, inexcusable. You hate to see that. But, you know, his backup, I don't even know if you can call it the backup anymore, but Sebi with a couple of bad pass balls, another poor offensive performance behind the plate, that bunt attempt. How much do we want to talk about this bunt attempt? They lose by a run, and you're giving away outs when outs are always at a premium. I think you tweeted about that. Maybe someone else did, but I know you've probably got thoughts about that bunt attempt that was laid down earlier on in that ballgame. I believe it was at the fifth inning. Whatever it was, the fifth inning, I think, that bunt attempt from Sebi was not a good attempt. It was, you know, obviously horrendous execution. He didn't get the bunt down, ends up striking out. But I get the thought process, but I don't know if I look at Sebi Zavala, the backup catcher, and be like, yeah, that's a guy who can lay down a bunt for me.
Yeah, I mean, and the guy came off, I mean, I know that they probably think it's fool's gold, but he came off a strong hitting game. What, is on Friday, where he hit three home runs, or Saturday? And to bunt him there, I understand what they're trying to do. They're scratching over one run right there, getting Lurie from first to second. Firstly, how about you try to steal, or maybe a hit and run with Lurie Garcia, who's got a little speed to him. Bunting right there, I never like bunting or sacrifice bunting because it's dumb. Even if you do that, you got to get it down to your Sebi Zavala. If your manager tells you to do a dumb thing, you still got to execute. The first two pitches, he misses. The first pitch, it goes right down the pipe, and he doesn't even offer at it. The second one, he falls off. After that, I was like, okay, cool. They're going to take the bunt off. They're going to give Sebi a chance to just get the job done by himself with his bat. Nope. He bunts it foul, and he's out. That's just piss-poor execution by Sebi. It's bad call initially by Tony, and it's a really bad call for him not taking it off at the end. I just don't like it. It just sends the wrong message. The process over results, guys. What are you thinking? Getting one run right there is the solution to unlocking this offense? No. We are giving away an out. Once you give away an out, you have a lesser chance to score more runs. Let's roll the dice. And if Sebi hits into a double play, just like...
The baseball police are coming for you.
They are. And and if the Sebi hits into a double play, just like Zach Collins, just like Andrew Vaughn hit into a double play we were talking about earlier, Sharp hit ground ball right into a double play. Hey, I'll take that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Because at least you're trying to do it. And when he did that in New York, when he hit into a triple play, I was like, fine. He was a rocket. Yep. I don't mind it. I don't like the result of it, but I understand he was trying to hit the ball really hard. He did, just at the wrong person, and it happened to turn into a triple play.
You know, I've got more faith in Sebi, you know, dumping one out over the second baseman's head than I do executing a bunt down. So I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. But I think maybe he's putting him to the test. Like if my backup catcher can put a bunt down for me in a situation like this, then maybe I will view him differently when I'm constructing my postseason roster here. So I wonder if that's a bit of an audition. If you can't hit, you know, your weight practically, you know, I need to be able to see that you can do other things that'll help the team win. That's from Tony's perspective. So he failed in that regard, and he did not do a good job for his pitching staff, I don't think, last night, after we had been praising him a lot lately. But onto that pitching staff, Dallas Keuchel was Dallas Keuchel of old, and we had been waiting for an outing like this. You know, a tough break in that first inning there. You know, when you the walks will always get you in trouble. And he walked, I believe it was Dozier, and that extends the inning after Salvi Perez did a nice piece of hitting there, and he goes down and gets one of those breaking balls and just kind of serves it up through the box. But that bad play by Engel there, losing it in the lights, that's when things aren't going well. It's another thing that's symptomatic, is shit like that happens, and it's not fun, and you knew that play would loom large. But other than that, Dallas Keuchel rebounded nicely. Those are the only two earned runs he gave up. And he strikes out 5, walks 3, goes 6 innings, and gives up just the 3 hits. So that, I would say, overall, a step in the right direction for Dallas Keuchel last night.
Indeed, and I initially thought that the hitter hit that ball off of the seams, and it caused a knuckling effect where Adam Engel thought the ball was going to come more towards the right field side of center field, where it just stayed true and went right at him. And so it turned him around really badly, but he was mouthing to, or we were reading his lips, that he was talking to Billy Hamilton and Brian Goodwin about how that ball, and he lost it in the lights, and it was right there at the twilight hour. So right at the beginning of the game. So yeah, you go up to the bank of lights, it can just be matched up with the ball right there, and you can lose it. And he turned around just so he couldn't get smoked by the ball in the face. So, yeah, it's a tough thing. It wasn't his fault. You know, you can't blame him. As a guy who does usually feel the ball flawlessly all the time, you know something was wrong when he looks that awkward in the field. He looked lost. So that's a believable story that he lost in the light. So I give him a pass. And Dallas Keuchel, mercy. He rebounded from like 7 or 8 bad starts in a row. With this quality start, I don't know if it was officially 6 innings. Did he get 6
innings? Yeah, he got 6.
Yes, he got 6 innings. So, yeah, it's a quality start. He held the Royals in check. That was an out right there. He should have gave up no runs in his whole time out there. He was just back to being Dallas Keuchel, getting ground ball outs, striking out 5. He did walk 3. He was behind a lot, but he's a battler. He's a guy that has the wherewithal and the know-how to get the job done when he doesn't have good stuff or his command or control is off. And that was what he did today. It's very encouraging to see that Dallas Keuchel gave the White Sox this type of effort. It's like a broken record as of late. Great starting pitching, 1 or 2 of the relievers not on point, and the hitting letting us down.
Yeah, you know, he's finally able to get some depth and bury the slider and the changeup a bit. And I think that's been really effective in that start yesterday. And I think that can be a step in the right direction for Dallas. And I think that was big. And the narrative was that we had heard that Dallas, he started to ramp up late during spring training. So he's not totally locked in yet as he normally would be. So I don't know how much truth that is, but it certainly looked like he's figured it out a bit compared to what we saw in his last outing. But it's just one of those fluky things. You know, the offense not doing well, running a bit of bad luck, and then you get some bad luck defense behind you, and then maybe this game plays out a little bit differently. Maybe you don't see Ronaldo Lopez giving up that bomb when he came into the ball game in the seventh. You know, maybe you can roll out your Kopech, Kimbrel, and Hendricks situation if Dallas Keuchel only, you know, goes six innings and only gives up nothing. You know, maybe it's a different outing, but that's sometimes when things
don't. And Ingles right there, too, for that rocket home run.
Yeah, exactly. Bounced off his glove and over the wall. It was a tough one there. I thought for sure he had it, as did Ronaldo, as did Olivares, who hit the home run. So, you know, such is life when things are not going your way. But other positive things, though, there was Ryan Tempura. Tempura was out there.
Even Tempura knows what's now. He's like, what happened? You're going to take me out? You don't? What's going on?
Tempura was really good last night in his, you know, not his first solid outing, but this is the best outing in a White Sox uniform by far. Ryan Tempura is able to you know, get that breaking ball over, serve up those sliders. Finally, a little taste of their own medicine the Royals hitters get last night with Tempura. Gets the clean inning, strikes out two. That's going to be big going forward. And then Garrett Crochet finishes it off with one inning, one hit, and one strikeout there as well. But that's where we are with this team right now. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to get to, but you know, when we're talking about this game here, but just put it behind you, and hopefully, you know, Cubs
probably
are
get me again. Sorry.
Uh-oh. What bad thought do you have in your head now? This is, yeah, like Black Mirror for bad baseball
thoughts. Talk
about thoughts.
Universal DH.
Oh, God. So, you know, you do
double switch.
You do have that luxury. You know, I don't know when the Cubs got in this evening, but they had that getaway day in Colorado, you know, so each team will probably be resting in their own beds around the same time. So, but the good thing is you're on the road, but not really, and you'll have a little extra juice in that ballpark with the Cubs Sox. I know, you know, Cubs fans probably selling their tickets a bit after the trades that happened. So I think you'll see a lot of Sox fans in the building. This is where the Cubs fans can recoup their money and sell the tickets to Sox fans. So we'll preview that series in a second here. But coming up after a quick timeout, the national media has slighted the White Sox once again, and I'm coming for my pound of flesh next here on Locked On White Sox. This episode of Locked On White Sox is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar ever. You got to sign up for the email and text alerts with Built Bar like I did, because then you won't miss out on limited flavors like what they have right now. Grasshopper cookie. It's Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint cookie that you guys all know and love. All the flavor without that sugar, just 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and just 5 grams of sugar. I'm down 24 pounds now thanks to Built Bar. Been getting those bad sweet treats out of my life, replacing them with Built Bars, and it's worked great. As a matter of fact, I just got my shipment in of my new favorite flavor, German chocolate. They are outstanding. They're 180 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 5 grams of sugar, and just 4 grams of net carbs. And I only got them because I signed up for their email and text alert. So as soon as my favorite flavor was back in stock, and that's the thing about a lot of these flavors, they sell out quickly. I was able to get in there and get my box of 18 before I go on vacation. So now I won't be without them even on vacation. And there's flavors for everyone at BuiltBar.com. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream. There's so many different flavors, an endless variety of flavors depending on what your taste are. So order today, get the grasshopper cookie or even raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Isn't that cool? Go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15. That's going to get you 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar ever. Your guy, Herb, Ben Verlander, was on the station the other day, and you were on his Flippin' Bats podcast a while back, talking Cubs, of course. That's what you do.
I told him I'm White Sox guys. I still want your Cubs thoughts, brother.
That's everyone wants to be in the Herb Lawrence business right there. But Ben Verlander, earlier this week, on Monday it was to be exact, and you know, I you know, he may not have the White Sox high or even on his list if he has to publish it right now after what they played against the Royals. But he publishes MLB power rankings. Ben Verlander, brother of Justin Verlander, of course, works for Fox Sports. He did his power rankings of the best teams in baseball, starting at number 10, A's, Blue Jays, Yankees, Padres, Red Sox, then 5 Brewers, 4 Rays, 3 Dodgers. Oh, here we go. Sox must be up at the top then. 2 Astros and number 1 Giants. So where are the White Sox, you say? What's going on? The Sox aren't even in the top 10 for Ben Verlander's power rankings. What's going on? So White Sox Twitter went after his ass for omitting the White Sox, or at least seemingly omitting the White Sox from his list. And then we had a chance to have Ben Verlander on the Parkinson Spiegel show earlier this week. And basically we asked him, hey, what happened?
You know, listen, I'll tell you exactly what happened here. And you heard, it was very nice for you guys to play the audio, which really helps my case here because, look, I love this team, and I think they're a very complete team, and they were my pick to win the American League. And that hasn't changed one bit. They've only gotten better. They've only continued to get better. And, I spent the whole – I'm public enemy number one, like you said, in the White Sox world, because they were left off my power rankings, which let me explain to you how those power rankings go down every Monday. I text a list over to our social people. I had the White Sox at number 5 and continued to list, and I actually wanted them higher. So I deleted their name, fixed the rest of my power rankings, and then totally just forgot I had deleted their name. I was like, that's weird. There's only 9 teams here. Added a 10th team, posted it, and the rest is history. Now I'm public enemy number 1.
Okay, well, so Spiegel and I are not White Sox fans, but our two producers, Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill, are diehard White Sox fans. Do you guys forgive Ben Verlander?
I absolutely do. Ben is a friend of the Locked On Sox podcast. He had Herb on his show flipping bats. So Ben and I were all good. We're just playing into the bit here. But does Ben know how lists work? You know, you can't omit someone that good on a list.
Interesting. Are you familiar with how 1 through 10 lists work, Ben?
I am now.
Got it.
I was a little unsure, but after leaving them off, I think I realized what I need to do now. And after, you know, there was a lot of good humor involved in yesterday, but also a lot of like death threats and stuff that I'm just like, this is getting out of control, guys. Come on.
It's death is too far, a little too far, frankly.
Just a bit, although I could definitely see it. I could see it from there. But a big week for death threats, huh?
They're probably the same people. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Get your socks so damn serious.
Yeah, and I talked to Ben on Twitter today, and I said, hey, thanks for being a good sport. Thanks for coming on the show. And I said, I hope the Sox Twitter has subsided a bit and has taken their foot off the gas. And he said, nope, it's only gotten worse. So, I don't know where the White Sox are going to be on Ben's list come Monday. They certainly haven't played well this week to put themselves in the top 5. We'll see where they are. But, it's wild stuff out here in these Twitter streets. Poor Ben Verlander. We got to get him on the show sometime soon, maybe in the offseason or whatever, because these games are just flying by. Which brings me to the Cubs series. We'll preview the Cubs series next here on Locked On White Sox. This episode of Locked On White Sox is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Money lines every night, over unders, it's all there for you if you enjoy betting on baseball at Bet Online. They've got all the other sports too. NBA finals coming to a close, football futures, golf. I've talked to you about some of the crazy fun prop bets they have going on at Bet Online. Got some new ones here just added. Aside from the alien abduction props, which I always enjoy, they have who will Bill Gates date next? What about Jeff Bezos? Who will marry first, Bezos or Gates? You can place a bet on that. Before the next pitch, head to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in on the game as teams prep for their runs to the postseason. Head to the website and use your mobile device today to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. We've got the probables Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Wrigley. Sunday is going to be Sunday Night Baseball. Yay. We finally get our A-Rod, I believe.
And the White Sox have one of the best ground screw guy in baseball, Roger Bozart. And he is the best.
So it's exciting stuff right there. Today, 1:20, Lance Lynn, 10-3 with a 2.07 versus Kyle Hendricks, 13-4 with a 3.71. Obviously, we love our guy Lance Lynn taking the bump for game one. We need a I feel like we need a stopper in this situation. The way the Sox have played, they need the confidence that comes with having Lance Lynn on the mound. But I don't love this matchup against Kyle Hendricks, Herb, in game one.
No, it's not great. But I think last year we crushed Kyle Hendricks in that game at Wrigley. So yeah, our offense is not doing a damn thing. But I would say, if you can't get hyped up for a Cubs-Sox series where you're big brother and you're looking to pound them into the ground and put the nail into their proverbial coffin, I don't know what you're getting hyped up for. This is a guy that is great. He's had an awesome year. I think he leads the National League in wins and has won like the last 12 starts at or last 12 decisions he's had, he has won. He's pitching well. There's no better time to take him to task than tomorrow. And we have number one Cub killer in the world, a guy that was picked up by the Cubs and then traded him. Thanks, Cubs.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Cubs.
And then Saturday, Carlos Rodon versus Edbert Alzolay. Rodon 8-5 with a 2.49, that ERA climbing ever so slightly. And Edbert Alzolay is struggling a bit lately. He's 4-11 with a 4.85 earned run average. And then Sunday Night Baseball, Dylan Cease versus Zach Davies. Cease 8-6 with a 3.92. Davies 6-8 with a 4.79. So, you know, a little bit of a mixed bag here. You know, as it goes with baseball, this could go either way. But what are your predictions here for Cubs Sox this weekend? How do you think it's going to go down?
I think Lance is going to have a strong outing on Friday later on today, and the Sox are going to win 4-0. I don't think the Cubs are going to touch him. I've seen the lineup the Cubs are throwing out there. Wilson Contreras still gives the White Sox fits. Ian Happ's still a professional hitter, even though he hasn't hit well this year. Other than that, I'm good. Ortega's been doing well at the beginning of the lineup, hit three home runs the same day that our guy, Sebi Zavala, hit three. But
Wisdom's hitting again a little bit, you know, after he sputtered off and after his hot start. But, yeah, it's not a whole lot going
nothing,
on there.
Nothing I'm worried about. Nothing I'm like, oh, man, here we go. So, yeah, I think Lance Lynn can control that team, and he's got the bat again. You guys can go wild over a pitcher getting hit, getting hits again in RBI. So 4-0 on Friday, and then I'm going to have Edward Rousley stick it up the White Sox ass on Saturday, and then a Sunday night victory to win the series versus the Cubs, because if the White Sox lose this damn series, whew, friends.
What? They'll probably still be 10.5 up.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Cleveland. I'm just saying about the terrible play.
I know.
It's late.
But like I said, if you can't get up for this and wipe the slate clean and head into Wrigley in a fun atmosphere like that, yeah, I've got the Sox winning 2 out of 3. I think they will win today. You know, because if Lance Lynn's going to give them a chance, and then you hand it over to the bullpen, and it's not going to be fun if you're a Cub fan. I'm seeing Craig Kimbrell come out there, shutting it down. So, and then maybe even Tapera too. I know he got some work to last night, but you know, I think they'll take game one. And you know, the Rodon thing worries me. He has not looked good lately. You know, going through that the tired arm, the dead arm period. It's you know, not a great recipe against, you know, like you said, Contreras, who always finds a way to get up against the White Sox. Usually it's Giolito who he tees off against, or you know, as long as Carson Fulmer is not going to come back and make an appearance for the White Sox, I think they'll be all right. But that'll be the big one right there. If they can pull out those first two, then I think they're poised for a sweep right here, because Dylan Cease has been throwing the ball really well. He was really good last night the other night when we were at the game and we saw him. But again, Zach Davies, another soft tosser. If he's hitting his spots, that could be problems for this lineup. So I'm also predicting 2 out of 3. But yeah, it should be a fun series, and we'll of course recap it all for you on Monday. But I believe that's all we got. Before we get out of here, I should mention that betting on baseball does not have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorites, favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. That's all I got today. Herb, I hope everyone has a great weekend.
Guys, call us at 312-566-8727 to leave us a voice message over the weekend.
Oh, do we have any? Let me see if we have any.
I
have not checked. I don't have the notifications up for that.
I know we had a couple emails today.
Okay, well,
talk about this game, but that was about it.
Okay, you know what? Should we let Paul Correct unload here on a fun Friday here and
might as well
and speak on behalf of all of us? Looks like I see a Chuck Knoblauch reference. I see a lot of stars in the AI here in the transcription, which means that there's lots of cussing.
Close your ears, Tegna.
Exactly. Sometimes they will slip. Here's our guy Paul Correct checking in.
Hello there, fellas. Pardon me. It's Paul Correct. Just watched the White Sox lose another game to Kansas City Royals. Yeah, you heard me. The Kansas City Royals. I'm not really very happy about this. I'm a little charged. Not gonna lie. We're supposed to beat bad teams, right? Yeah, oh, we only have a decent record against the good teams, but it's okay if we beat the bad teams. We're not beating the Royals. Starting to piss me off a little bit. Starting to get me fucking pissed. Sorry, Tegan. But it's starting to get me fucking pissed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Like, it's just, I'm getting, I gotta relax. The game just ended. It's not that big of a deal. They're gonna be fine. Oh. The only other thing I wanna really, that I'm really worried about is if Adam Engel is turning into the Chuck Knoblauch version of a center fielder. Because I don't know what the hell he was doing tonight. And that is not the Adam Engel. Does he have the center field yips? Because, wow. Then he made that, after making that horrible play in like the first or second inning, then he made that horrible throw after that, and then trying to explain it in the dugout. I don't know. Hopefully he's not the Chuck Knoblauch of center fielders. Let's all hope that's not the case. Thanks for letting me vent, boys. I think we're going to be just fine, but it's really hard to lose two in a row. Frickin' Royals. Let's turn it around. Keep up the good work. Paul Correct signing out.
All right, thank you, Paul. Yeah, I think you're a rational thought there. You are correct to be angry and frustrated because the Royals are always incredibly frustrating. They played some great defense and they pitched the ball well, and they, you know, wear their Royals uniforms that you just hate whenever you see them. But also your logic is correct there. I think they will ultimately be okay. And I think with this team, they haven't played the brand of baseball that we know they're capable of. It would be one thing if we didn't know what this team was going to do, but I think we know when this team is firing on all cylinders what it looks like, and it hasn't looked anything close to that. So, you know, until it does, you know, I'm going to continue to be, you know, concerned, but not overly concerned. You know, That's all the best way I can put it, I suppose. And they will eventually click, and everyone's going to be in this lineup a month from now, and then you'll have a solid month to get ready for the postseason. So that's, you know, the optimism I can give you on tonight. So, yeah, that's all I got, and that's all from Paul Correct, and that was the only voicemailer. And LockedOnSox@gmail.com, LockedOnSox@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, but that's all I got.
That is Chris. My name is Herb. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you guys have a great weekend. I'm going up to Wisconsin and getting some cream puffs from the state fair.
Oh,
Hell yeah. She's going up to Lake Geneva later on today. So I've spent some time with her friends. Oh. And then I'm going to join her in the Milwaukee area to the state fair, which is not in Madison. That's weird.
Where is it?
It's like in between. Like, I remember I was driving out last week or 2 weeks ago when we went up to Milwaukee. Up to the city where the hotel was, which is only 4 miles away. It was like in between like the stadium and the hotel where we're at. So it's not that far. It's right down the street from the American Family Insurance ballpark. So if they're in town, I might go and check me a game out too. So that is Chris. My name is Herb. Do it again. Thank you for joining us on Locked On Sox.